Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Morgan?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Weber?
Here.
Councilmember Pepper?
Here.
Okay, Seth, if you want
to
talk about the TIP.
I don't have too much more to add. I'll just do a little review. We had a public hearing on June 2nd, held a workshop after that. We made revisions based on council's input at the last workshop. The issue was tabled for another workshop, and so here we are. At this point, what I need from you is what revisions, edits, additions, deletions would you like to see to make this an approvable document?
Cindy Proctor commented on the Rock Creek Bridge that she wanted that on there. It did get put on. That was the only person I heard from. So, I'm good.
Member Pepper, this is on our work session without our knowing. This is on our work session without our knowing about it in advance. We did not approve this to be in the work session.
You did approve to have another work session with the TIP, and this was the next work session. So we added it to this work session. It was on your work study papers last week.
This is Councilmember Edelman. I think the record needs to show that there are council members who showed up not prepared to discuss this one more time.
And I just don't understand. It was in the packet. If you don't review the packet before you come to the meeting, that's on you guys. We need to get these items passed. They're not going to your committees because your committees don't exist.
I think if you expect cooperation, our meetings have been
a total waste of time.
They need to have Robert's rules. They need to follow Robert's rules of order. I think that by not recognizing the committees, by not recognizing the rules, by basically trying to obstruct things that the council has the right to be doing, I think that you need to think about what kind of cooperation can you expect when the position of council member is not respected, and when the decisions that the council makes as a whole are not respected. I think that you need to really think about what that means in terms of our cooperation in terms of getting things passed.
So, okay, so with that speech that I just heard, so what you're saying that with Seth being here was a waste of time and that you refused to look at this because you feel like there's no cooperation and that you didn't look at the website and look at your packet in time to see that this was there. This is the first thing on the packet list when we got it, that you're denying, that you three are saying you are not going to look at this. If my understanding of what your speech just said, that's what you're going for. You're not recognizing this document. You're not going to help the staff move forward. And you still are holding this up, correct?
Councilmember Weber, I think what I heard from Councilmember Pepper is that, you know, the council meetings have been a waste of our time, your time, the citizens' time, the staff's time, everybody's
time. Point
of
order. This isn't the council meeting. This is
city business. This is what's on our thing for tonight.
I believe
that's what Councilmember Pepper is referring to.
No, she was referring to council meeting. So we need to get back to this. This is our document for tonight. Are you guys going to look at it, or are we adjourning for this and moving on to the next work study?
What I'm noticing is that we had asked that that the development agreement projects be cited out how this achieves the development agreement projects and a timeline from the development agreement. And I actually don't see anything change about that. And I'm in the same place as my colleagues here. I mean, the majority of the council passed rules by vote again on July 7th for the third time this year. The five of us council members are at an impasse over how business is to be conducted in the city. The council has a statutory, that state-mandated responsibility to have internal rules of conduct without interference from any separate branch of government under the fundamental separation of powers doctrine.
Are you reading a document? Can you just let us all know?
I'm reading what notes I made before I came here, which is a major underpinning of our Western-style democracy that we have in this country.
So you already came prepared
all
for
trust,
reading something like that.
All trust between the parties is destroyed.
You can say that again. Well,
yes, I can, and maybe I will have to, but let's hope not. So I'm saying let's start with a step-by-step approach toward building some trust back. And that has to start with let's agree that the council business will be conducted in adherence with the Roberts rules at the meetings, since we don't have any other rules at this point. And let us acknowledge the primary democratic principle of majority rule. The majority council vote will be respected by all members, and once the vote is taken, they'll respect that is the vote of the city. And I'm not ready to pretend like we can go on doing business the way we've been doing it in the past, since the election was called, actually, last November.
Because let me tell you what's going on here. I specifically am not going to follow any kind of rules that have been deemed illegal by multiple attorneys. And you guys can all stare at me, or you can give me a dirty look, or not look at me at all. But let me tell you, I am not going to follow those rules because you majority people voted them in. They have been deemed illegal for multiple reasons, which is why we are going through and revising the council rules. But that has no bearing on the fact that we have business for the city that needs to be conducted. If we revise the rules tonight,
we have no democracy.
Excuse me,
we
you want to
no
follow
city.
The Roberts rules? Just
we
a moment.
We have no city. We have no city government.
Oh, well, so much for following Robert's rules. What I was going to say is cooperation works on both sides. It's not just one side versus the other side. If we can't work together, yeah, this city government's going to go down in flames, and I think that's where we're headed. If the majority of the council members can't look at a TIP and glean the information that they need to know who's paying for it, some of it's the developer. If you look on this page, on what page? Exhibit A, the first page. It says the first item, ranked number one, was the government street improvement. That's local city funds. That's local government money. Item number two, but ranked number one, is the Roberts Drive rehab. That's a grant. That's the TIB, the developer, and local city funds. That's where the money's coming from. If you look at the next item, the 224 safety improvements at Covington Creek, that's the real estate excise tax and or grant. Go back down under rank number four and number five. Those are 100% developer funded. I don't understand why everything that the staff has been working months on to come in front of the committees or in front of our council in work studies gets waylaid. I don't understand why you can't take the information that's provided to you. We have staff here that can answer your questions if you have them and move on. We are not Seattle, we're not King County, we're not Spokane. We're a city of less than 4,200 people. Why can't we behave that way? Why does everything have to be a fight? I don't get it. I just don't get it.
I myself am in favor of committees meeting in the evening so the public can attend. And so that the council members can discuss and have more information. And I really think that many cities use a three-touch rule. It's first reading in the council, then it goes to committee for however long it's there, then it goes back to the council. And I think that in Black Diamond, maybe we could practice that. I would definitely, our committees are not illegal, our rules are not illegal.
The rules have been deemed illegal by multiple attorneys. And if you don't want to discuss this tonight, then you might as well put it away and I'll send Seth home. So are you saying you do not want to discuss the TIP tonight? Do not want to discuss it? Thanks, Seth. Thank you very much.
I wanted to try and get at Erica's question because she mentioned that she had asked, and I'm sorry, I did not catch that you wanted some type of a schedule for developer agreed projects. The schedule is steered and guided by the development agreement, not a 6-year TIP. This just I'm not sure how to do that because you cannot, the developer's schedule is according to how fast he wants to build, how fast he can sell lots, if he wants to stop, he can stop. You can't force, if they don't want to build, if there's a downturn in housing, you couldn't force him to build projects that he doesn't need or that for future impacts. So I'm not sure how you would do that. You're just identifying which projects are capacity projects funded by developers and which ones aren't.
I think that's important. We're all using the product of whatever scheme that the developments happen on and under. And I think it's important to have some kind of a idea when we get ready to talk about what development projects and what order we're having them on, some kind of idea what's coming down the pipe on the other side. I think that's just like an engineering problem.
Well, that problem has already been studied, solved, and established and is in the development agreement. I think you need to read the development agreement.
Well, maybe, but maybe it needs to be included in the stuff that I'm given, and maybe I need to make a comparison.
Well, it's been on the website, you know, for years. This project, or identifying those capacity adding projects, I mentioned that this is the one significant change was past councils did not want all the development projects on there. Carol Morris said she felt that they should be on here. I put them on there. I can see her point in wanting them are, particularly with concurrency, is that you're showing projects that would be needed if there is development. If you take them back off or say we'd never approve this, then which six-year TIF stands? The one that's already passed.
That's right.
It's still in place. There isn't an expiration date on the six-year TIF that was approved last year. So this, I think, provides the city with more protection than where we were last time. So although the development agreement is the city's protection, not the six-year TIF.
How is the development agreement the city's protection?
It's a contract, enforceable contract with the developer.
You see,
this is not.
I guess I'm looking for what is ruling the benchmarks of that contract, because as you said, they will build as much or as little as probably the economy or their personal desire brings them to. And what I'm trying to do to get into my head is a comparison of where they think they are now, which is not where they were when they signed off on the development agreement. We all know that. And where the city is going.
But the order of the project stays, even though they haven't built House one in 5 years. The needs remain the same. Basically, the traffic levels have stayed the same. And that's probably a different discussion. If you want a work study on bringing the new council up to speed on mitigation. The mitigations and that were required in the development agreement, then that's Andy, not me.
Yeah, I get it. As I'm just going down this list, you know, and I'm going, so, you know, what was on the development agreement? I kind of vaguely remember. I'm thinking I'd like to have it in my head when we foresee now, as we get ready to pass a TIF, when we see now that starts.
Well, first project is the signals, Roberts Drive and Ravensdale. Because those are existing intersections that are already having capacity problems are already exceed our levels of service. So they have milestones of performance that are identified in the development agreement that they have to get done. So, okay. You know, unless they stop and
unless
don't do anything.
Right, exactly.
But,
right, exactly. So then what's a best guess?
But I'm not.
What's a best guess?
I mean.
2 years, 1 year, 3 years?
There is some type. I'm not an expert on the development agreement because I haven't looked at it.
I get it. So we need
in
to ask
4 years, and it doesn't. I don't see how you can turn this agreement or this planning tool into a link to the development agreement. The development agreement.
It's not that I'm trying to make a link. It's like I want to have in mind these things going on, and I'm wanting to know when our citizens are going to need to be concerned, or when they're going to get relief on Roberts Drive for that 169 Roberts Drive 169 intersection.
Well, I know it's early on, but the exact I'm not going to guess it's just in the early phases there of phase 1A. It's part of their implementation in phase 1A.
I mean, I'm not part of this growth management committee, but I'm just thinking that's what they need to know. They need to know because they need to have that in their head because they're looking for forecasting for the future for the city.
The forecasting?
For the future for the city from the citizen's side. So the government, the comprehensive plan committee needs to know that. That's why they're not able to say anything now because they don't have the information they need.
Well,
we've been asking right along.
Well, the information, there's pretty good detailed information mm-hmm. in, and it's still all posted on the website and been there for years.
Okay. You want to tell them, you want to know where? Find it on the website. When I look around there, I
go to community development under the MDR.
Community development. And the next MDR. Best is to ask Andy.
Yeah. Well, I think a pro development 6-year tip, although it wouldn't affect Yarrow Bay, is to do nothing. And this has been touched by the council, I think, four times now.
I agree.
So it's not that you have to pass this. I don't want to waste your time. So... We don't need to be standing up at the podium every couple weeks saying, "Oh, what are we going to do?" But
so would it be better for staff and for the mayor and staff to just wait until the three decide that they want to discuss it again? So you three email or have somebody say, we want to come back and have a work study on the TIB or.
If this is going to, I have Scott working on grants for projects next year. We have a 6-year TIP. It hasn't expired. However, we are not in compliance with updating it every year, and we haven't met that schedule. Now, is that going to affect eligibility? I don't know. I can ask the question. But this is grant season, at least for streets. And we're going to be turning applications in. If we're not going to pass this, I at least want to ask a question of TIB and other funders whether that's a problem. And there's maybe some projects that we cannot apply for because maybe they're not identified on the schedule, or that there's termini or length and distance has changed. I haven't looked at it with that idea in mind that we're not going to adopt this.
Doesn't this also feed into the comp plan update?
We have to have this updated. It has to be compliant with comp plan, along with the CIP. They all kind of mesh together into one big package. So how can we do all of this?
Well, the consistency of various plans that feed into the comp plan, it's a continually rotating cycle. So if we don't do this, we can. It doesn't stop us from updating the transportation element of the comprehensive plan. And if we added new capacity adding projects through that comprehensive plan process, or changed the street network through that process, that would just come out in the next update of the six-year TIF next year. So there's never a point in time where all plans at instantaneously are going to be consistent. So I guess unless I hear edits, deletions, additions, guidance, I won't bring this up and bug you about it. Because it's not my plan, it's your plan.
Yeah, that's
the same. So I'm just trying to help.
So, Councilmember D, so what is the plan? You know, I've already stated I was good with it. I don't know.
I'm fine with it.
So, where are we at, the three of you? Pat Pepper, Eric Morgan, Brian Weber. Can you at least give Seth some idea? Thoughts are?
I think that he suggested that we were asking for information he doesn't have. So I guess we need to get with Andy to look into that.
So you need a work study with Andy?
I don't know, and I'm not on the committee. So the committee members will decide. It's not mine to decide.
All right, thanks.
Okay, I want to back up a bit and start back at Section 7, the parliamentary procedure. But I also want to just, for scheduling purposes, what I would like to see is to finish my comparisons and where I think changes need to be, close that out tonight at the next work study that gets scheduled. We will go back through the Talmadge or through the Kristen Bryant package, and then we can reconcile that against all the changes also, if that's agreeable. Well, and that's fine. I think, you know, as much as we can, I mean, we've all got all this boatload of data. But I think it would, just for, yeah, consistency, let's go through it. We can go through this multiple times. This isn't just a one-time shot. Okay?
The only thing is we do need to have rules. It's a state mandate.
All right.
We feel like we passed the rules.
All right. Well, let's continue on. I would like to revisit 7.3. actually, let's even back up one more. Let's back up. Seven to ten.
Can I ask which rules you are referring to, since we have multiple rules out here?
We're working on the ones from last year.
Okay.
The ones that were included. Excuse me. I have the floor. I have a comparison. You guys have all the information. We can refer to both of them because that's what we're going to have to do, just like we did last month. But I'm going from the last rules that were approved that are legal. You can argue all you want about that, and we'll get into it later.
Councilmember Morgan here. What I'm noticing on my list, 7.2.10,
oh, yeah. All right. My mistake. Let's go to under 7.3, there's a waiver of rules, and it talks about the council may by motion that carries with an affirmative vote of at least a majority of the whole membership of the council waive, suspend, or modify these rules of procedure. In order to be consistent with Robert's rules, and also, if you look back at 7211, the words are, this motion must receive a second and fails without an affirmative vote of at least all of the council members present minus one. It's a supermajority. And we need to put that in. And I know it wasn't in before, but in Appendix J of Robert's Rules, motions that take a two-thirds vote, or in our case, it'll be four-fifths. In general, two-thirds vote is required for any motion that takes rights away from members. Such rights include the right to be informed of pending action, to conduct business by known and established rules, to debate, and to vote. And then it says the following motions require a two-thirds vote in all cases. The previous question to close debate, limit or extend debate, close nomination or close the polls, object to the consideration of a question, and suspend the rules. So I would recommend that we change 7.3 to be consistent with 7211. Let me just make one more comment. Once we've gone through these rules, the next meeting that we have, I'm going to have a red line version for all of you and for whatever public shows up, so that you can see what changes have been made. Right. I want the words about the supermajority that are in 7211 to be included in 7.3 waiver of the rules. We need a supermajority to waive the rules. And that's in Robert's rules.
It may be in Robert's rules, but in this divided council, I don't think it's going to work very well.
Well, that means you're purposely leaving the minority out of voting on things. You're not giving us an opportunity to even have a voice.
Your voice is trying to convince us.
Well, all right, never mind.
This is Councilmember Weber. The whole point that's trying to be made here is about Robert's rules. We're trying to follow and have a decent meeting. We haven't had a decent meeting since about December, January time frame. And I can't speak for Councilmember Morgan, but if I mention something as we, that doesn't necessarily mean the three of us. It could be two of us. The constant implying that we're still doing it, you know, we're doing all this colluding on the outside as a majority is just not right. So, you know, either we have a civil meeting or we don't.
So,
because I'm not going to sit here and be interrogated at any other meeting as well and continually trying to be thrown under the bus.
So my question to Councilmember Morgan was, is she speaking for the three of you? So, Robert's Rules of Order, wait your turn. So I'm happy that you spoke up, because then that told all of us that, no, she is not speaking. I didn't accuse you of all three being in one. I just said, is she speaking for all three of you? That's all I said when she said we. Now, we've all talked about this, at least I have, that when we speak, we should speak I. I support this. I suggest this. I. And Erica, when I said it before, she agreed that we should use I. So I just wanted clarification at that moment when she said we. Was she speaking for the two of you, because you three vote on everything the same? So I just wanted clarification who she was speaking of. Was it an I for her, a we, whatever it was, clarification of it. So I'm glad you stepped up and you spoke that she does not speak for you.
Go ahead. I will qualify that, because I was using the we, the royal we, all five council members. You probably don't remember this part. You probably don't remember this part of the discussion, but what I was referring to is that we collectively, all of us individually, have an opinion and a point.
So please do not include me in any of your speeches. Do not do that. Just say I. I am capable of speaking for myself, and if I agree with you, or Pat Pepper, or Brian Weber, or Janie Edelman, you will hear from me whether I agree or disagree. I do not need any council member to speak for me.
Well, and I think this just, and I want to move on, because we're getting down on stuff we don't really need to, but I think just in general, when any of us are talking about the council, if it is the majority of the council, it needs to be stated as the majority of the council or the minority of the council. Because we, you know, everybody knows we don't agree on anything or very little. So let's move on. Okay. I would like to move on to, if we look at 8.1, there was no change. 8.2, roll call, there was no change. 8.3, no change. 8.4. In 8.4.
I'm just asking, 8.3, I'm noticing that, are we gonna do the insurance stuff later?
As far as his comments are concerned?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's fine, you know, and there basically aren't that many changes.
Well,
what he had.
What I can tell you is on 8.3, he said there's a difference between conflict of interest and appearance of fairness. And he has a reference that he wanted us to consider there. So I just wanted to get that in there.
Okay. Just a second. Roger Neal refers to in his footnotes RCW 42.23-070 as it relates to conflicts of interest. And then there are four different items. No municipal officer may use his or her position to secure special privileges or exemptions for himself, herself, or others. No municipal officer may directly or indirectly give or receive or agree to receive any compensation, gift, reward, or gratuity from a source except for the employing municipality for a matter connected with or related to the officer's services as such an officer unless otherwise provided for by law. Number three, no municipal officer may accept employment or engage in business or professional activity that the officer might reasonably expect would require or induce him or her by reason of his or her official position to disclose confidential information acquired by reason of his or her official position. and four, no municipal officer may disclose confidential information gained by reason of the officer's position, nor may the officer otherwise use such information for his or her personal gain or benefit. And then he goes on into the whole appearance of fairness doctrine. So I guess, is there something that you want to add to all of that?
I'm just suggesting it because he suggested it.
I think so too, and you know, honest, because
then I guess the question is, should we try to make some kind of summation of that to go in the rules, or make a reference to it? Or, I mean, it's one of the issues, since this got sent to the insurance company, that, you know, someone can go back and impugn counsel, where otherwise they might not have noticed and they wouldn't know, or it wouldn't be recorded as an issue. But as we strive to get better and better, more complete.
What I can do is go ahead and actually, you know, it's 8.5 in the July version. It's 8.6 in the January version. What I can do is add a statement prior to 8.6.1 that refers back to this RCW. Would that be agreeable?
Yeah, it'd be good to see it in there.
Yeah, but does everybody agree?
Let's try it. See how we do.
Okay. You know, because, again, this isn't the only meeting we're going to have. We're going to be able to go back, and when I give you the red line version, and you'll be able to see what changes I've made. Okay. Okay. Now this is going to start getting a little bit confusing, because this is when our paragraph numbers start to conflict. So in the January version, 8.6.1, which would be 8.5.1 in the Drewdowski rules. Yes, ma'am.
Please refer to the rule by date or as council rules rather than bringing the name of a person that isn't here.
Yeah, that would be fine. I don't know whether he's present or not makes a difference, but okay, no, that's fine. I will do that. So there's no change in the abstention. That's all basically the same. Okay, and 8.6.2, 8.6.3, and all the way to 8.7, there were no changes. They're exactly the same. Then we get into Section 9. We have a 9.1, which is ordinances, which I want to make this comment, because it's also 9.1 where you've made some changes in the July version. Both of these, both ordinances, both Morris and Talmadge took exception to the revision. Talmadge wrote, quote, "Revised Rule 9.1 removes the mandatory review of ordinances by the city attorney. It replaces it with language that the city attorney, quote, should, unquote, review ordinances. Since ordinances are laws adopted by the city, we suggest the mandatory review procedure," end quote. Morris wrote, the language is inconsistent with law to the extent that it prevents the mayor from placing an ordinance on the agenda and ensuring timely adoption. This is also inconsistent with law because the mayor pro tem has no duties unless the mayor is absent. So we need to keep the language that was in the January version. Any other discussion on that? Yeah, but these are, you know, these were our rules as of, well, it's.
They're 2015
rules. Yeah, nine. So the 2015 rules. I'll just refer to them as the 2015 rules and the July rules. Okay? Okay. Then. Excuse me. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. 8.4, because that also is an important one. Because that was totally deleted. Was it totally deleted? Or they just just a second. Let me. Okay, what they've done is changed from votes by the mayor. And it deleted any votes by the mayor. It's votes by council members serving as a presiding officer. We do not have that form of government. We are still a strong mayor form of government. Now, that might be true if the mayor was not present and the mayor pro tem was sitting in for the mayor. But to delete the mayor's authority to be able to break ties on resolutions specifically is not right.
You're mistaken if you check the RCW.
I'm mistaken about what? About what?
She doesn't need to veto a resolution.
She can't veto a resolution.
And she can't veto an ordinance. She doesn't need to abide by a resolution.
No, she per the RCW, she can veto an ordinance. She cannot veto a resolution, but she can deny it. Per the RCW. 35A12100. So my recommendation is we leave 8.4 the way it is of the 2015 version. Do we have any consensus? Do we have any? Well, I'd like some feedback. I'm in the process of trying to revise these rules for all of us to use, and if you guys don't give me any feedback, what do you expect me to do?
In my version here, that 8.4 votes by council members serving as presiding officer.
It's 8.5 in the other rules.
It's 8.5 in the other rules. Yeah. I don't see it as any different than.
Because the
number might be different, but the wording's not.
All right, but let me phrase this a little bit better.
Okay.
In the 2015 rules, it's 8.5. In the July 2016 rules, it's 8.4. Because the 8.4, which was entitled Votes by Mayor, it says, except where prohibited by law, the mayor may only vote to break a tie vote of the council and only with respect to matters other than the passage of any ordinance, grant, or revocation of franchise or license, or any resolution for the payment of money. It's totally gone out of the July version. But it's totally gone. That's trying to take authority that is deemed to be the mayor's authority by 35A12100 and taking it away from the mayor. We don't have the authority to do that.
This is Councilmember Weber. How does that take away any power from the mayor by not having it in the council rule if it's already a rule?
Because it would be confusing to citizens that are rules. It should be there so that they understand what the role of the mayor can do.
Well, and the other part of it is this whole section is on voting. This is when the mayor can vote and not vote. Okay. All right, so then going back to section 9. In the 2015 rules, we had a section 9.2 resolutions. In the July 2016 version, there is no 9.2. There's just resolutions, and it's underlined. I believe it needs to have its own section. And there's also some words that need to go about this. Both Talmadge and Morris suggest that resolutions can constitute city policy. Talmadge states that, quote, review by the city attorney is suggested, at least as to resolutions that could affect city policy and potential legal liability. So I am recommending that we keep the former rules from the 2015 version.
Well, city policy has been in the past that we prepare resolutions to go by shall be required to be reviewed by the attorney.
Mm-hmm.
To add the same language that's under ordinance
right.
to that one, because that's been our policy since I've been on council.
Yeah.
Because everything is by the
right.
that goes on. So even though our old rules didn't say shall be reviewed by the attorney, it should say the same thing as the ordinance.
Right.
Councilmember Deegan, I think that would be. Well, that is a wise choice to have everything go through the attorney. You know, we're here to protect the taxpayers. We're here to obviously protect ourselves, too. So why wouldn't we want resolutions and ordinances to go through the city attorney to get feedback before they're placed on the agenda?
Is there any other comments? Have some feedback. Okay, then section 10, public comments. 10.1. I don't see a problem eliminating the sign-in sheet. Now, when I first got on the council, there was a sign-in sheet, and it was never used back then either. So getting rid of that is fine. But we need to, let's see. Then, so it should read, persons addressing the council should step up to the podium, give their name and address. You want to do city? Not everybody lives within the city limits. Okay, for the record. Any other comment? Okay, on, yes. Okay, let me read the entire paragraph. So it's 10.1, requesting to speak. During the public comment period, members of the audience may comment on any matter related to city business. Persons addressing the council should step up to the podium, give their name and city for the record. All remarks must be addressed to the council as a whole. The city clerk shall serve as timekeeper. The presiding officer may make exceptions to the time restrictions when warranted. See subsection 3.5 for requests to make special presentations to the council. Any other comments or anything? Okay. 10.2, there was no change. 10.3, there is no change. 10.4, there is no change.
into Section 11, 11.1.3, in the 2015 version, it says no one may speak for a second time without the approval of the presiding officer. 11.1.3.
11.1.
Correct. Page 17 of 29.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is saying no one may speak for a second time without the approval of the presiding officer and only after everyone who wishes to speak has had an opportunity. And then the council may make, okay, then there's been a change here. Because they've taken, okay, the council may make a motion and majority, what? Yeah, I know, I'm not there yet. So that reads the same, but now Morris, okay, in, let me back up again, because I've got too many pieces of paper here. In the July 2016 version, there is no mention of the presiding officer. It has been deleted. And according to Carol Morris, that's contrary to law. The presiding officer still needs to be in there. It may be the mayor, it may be the mayor pro tem. But deleting the presiding officer is taking away authority of whoever is the presiding officer.
Please remember that it is the council's meeting.
Okay. Then we go on to 11-1-4. There is no change. 11-1-5. What has been changed in that, it was deleted in the July 2016 version, but may not engage in further debate. That was deleted from the 2015 rules. And my question is, why was that deleted? Why can't a council member engage in a debate with a speaker? The 2015 rules say after the speaker has used his or her allotted time, council members may ask questions of the speaker and the speaker may respond. Oh, and it says but may not engage in further debate. Okay, but that but may not engage in further debate has been deleted. So I guess then it's a reverse of what I just said.
It is. That's what I was going to tell you.
Okay, so you guys want to be able to have debate.
Councilmember Deedy, I disagree with having debate only because we have trouble enough to get people to get up and speak and for them to know, to think that when they get up and speak, we are going to debate them up there and we're going to thrash on them or we're going to embarrass them or whatever. I think that you need to remove that we can debate them.
That's the reason why we removed it.
No.
Okay. Yeah, but I think what we're saying now, but you know, a debate doesn't have to have a negative connotation either, though. It can be a conversation. Somebody gets up and asks a question. We as a council should have the opportunity to respond to that question.
Council members may ask questions of the speaker, and the speaker may respond. It doesn't say that.
Well, it says that in the 2015 rules.
Well, it does.
I think it should be added back. Just, I mean, to me, a debate is a debate. I mean, you get up there, just like when we have, when we're being, have an election, when we're going to debate, you know, we get questions and we talk, and you've got a lot of people asking you more questions and you're discussing it. So I just think for the citizens to know that they're safe in coming up and
this is a legislative hearing.
This is a legislative hearing.
I guess we've talked all ways around this. I don't really know how to say it. I know that if we can get to a place where we can be in cooperation, back and forth, that's a question and an answer, and then maybe a clarifying question that doesn't go down into getting too much back and forth, and maybe we could have the sense at that point to have it take a vote if we wanted to, if the council wanted to continue it or not.
Maybe we need to just change the word from debate to discussion.
Maybe.
That takes away that harshness, I think.
But we're, are we leaving, but not, but may not engage in further discussion?
Or you want to
leave? Or just leave it, or just leave it, and the speaker may respond and then see what happens.
Well, I guess the other thing, too, is that the presiding officer always has the opportunity to stop. Somebody can call a question that stops debate with anybody, whether it's the council members talking or whether it's with the public or a speaker. So we have other parliamentary rules that we can use, too.
So basically what you're saying is, in a roundabout way, we're fine with July 7th for not having that event?
Well, I'm kind of almost, you're going to find this hard to believe, but I think I'm fine with deleting that.
Well, I agree with Councilmember Edelman. There's other ways that, if necessary, that it can be, I like it because you can give the citizens the time to speak and have their voices heard, especially at a hearing. Because it is kind of a limited time, and it is a lot of times their one chance to get their voice or what they want out there on the record. So I agree with the change of deleting the comment, or should I say the way it is on July 7th.
Just put a period after "may respond" and leave it at that. It doesn't keep us from having the conversation.
Lucky
and it doesn't
there,
keep us from stopping the conversation.
Lucky there, we agree.
Well, I'm really not the evil you-know-what that you guys all think I am.
So, just for clarification, so on that, when it says council members may ask questions of the speaker, and it says, and the speaker may respond. So, was that last sentence, but may not engage in further discussion or debate, for the speaker only?
Well, I think it's for the presiding officer to decide if they're out.
Yeah, and I think,
if it gets into something that it's controversial, you shouldn't be, if somebody gets up to testify, you certainly don't want to get beaten up by the council.
Right.
So that the presiding officer can rule.
Okay. To a point of order, and I mean, we have lots of other ways of stopping that debate. There was nothing else in Section 11 that was controversial.
Yeah,
that
we just did this last week.
No, it's 11.1.7 in their rules. It's not deleted. Yeah, no, just a minute. I'm looking. Just going to speak to the timekeeper. Is the clerk, is the timekeeper. Oh. In the 2015 rules, 11.1.7 says
The presiding officer may request to change or modify the procedures at a particular meeting or hearing, but the decision to do so may be overruled by a majority vote of the council members present. That has been deleted. And that needs to go back in. Is there any other discussion about that? No? Okay, then, unless somebody else has got a change, we can move on to section 12. I think this is a nit, but RMSA recommended putting quotation marks around town hall meetings. But you know what? That's a pretty generic term in the political world. It doesn't matter. The city of Seattle has town hall meetings. So I don't think that we need to do that. I have no other changes in that section. Does anybody have any other thing, anything else to discuss? Okay. Section 13. The 2015 version basically just reiterates what's in the Washington State Code for the duties of the mayor pro tem and how they are selected. In the July version, there is some additional wording. The first paragraph pretty much reads the same as the only paragraph in the 2015 version. There's been a new paragraph added that says, in the July 2016 version, annually at the first meeting of a new council and soon thereafter, the members thereof by majority vote shall designate one of their members as council president. The council president shall perform such duties as may be assigned by council rules. I would like you guys to explain to me where, anywhere, there is authority to have that position as council president.
In the primary authority of the council has authority to do anything that any city anywhere has done. It says that in that language.
Okay, okay. But why when we have a council of five people, we have, in most cases, limited amounts of legislation at any specific council meeting? What extra work, other than you guys want to assign things to committees, you want to have first reads and do passes and all of that stuff. We're not a big city. We don't have to complicate our lives as much as you guys are trying to complicate it.
And all it isn't in Black Diamond.
And it's not in the Black Diamond Municipal Code.
However, the state legislature does not permit, does not prohibit the legislative body from doing this.
But what's the value? Bottom line, what is the value of having a council president? Council President Pepper?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's your job. It's your job. It's more work. It doesn't have to be more work. What work you guys have created is self-created by you guys.
So I don't understand why a president is needed. And the three... Maybe you guys will explain to me why, you know, why it's needed and why it's important that a five-member council have a president presiding. I just don't understand. So maybe each of you, in your own words, can explain why that's needed.
As Councilmember Weber, my opinion on that is, you know, you're right. Black Diamond is, sorry, it's
someone blind.
Black Diamond, you're right, it is a small town right now, but it's not going to be small for long. It's going to grow. And as anybody that's lived in a small town for any length of time knows that the winds of change blow very slowly. And acceptance of change sometimes takes longer. So my opinion, when I read that and agree to having it there, is that, yeah, we're starting out small, but as the town grows and we hit 5,000 and we get two more council members, then, you know, that's kind of position or that, you know, that culture of how our city government runs, it's not, like, forced upon. This is, to me, is like an easing into that larger council. So that's my opinion or take. So for
I appreciate that. But the thing is that at the point that we hit 5,000 and we go to a council of seven, we're going to have to redo these rules again, or someone will have to redo these rules again anyway. I'm back to the same question. Where is the value? Okay, Erica.
Okay. I can sort of tell you how this came about in these rules.
Okay.
When I was designated mayor pro tem, as many of you complained pretty bitterly about me having extra responsibilities, I said when I signed up to be mayor pro tem, I didn't sign up to do anything except just the limited stuff that is in the RCW.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as the committees develop and there needs to be some kind of coordination to get stuff reviewed for the agendas and someone to turn to for organizing that stuff, I can't do it, and I needed help.
Okay.
And so that's how I got it.
And I understand that, and you've explained that. And nobody understands family issues more than I do. But those are all self-imposed restrictions and things that need to be done. There is nothing in the RCW that tells you that you have to have X amount of committees and you have to do all of this stuff and you have to do pass and all of that. That is something that when the July rules were generated, that – however they were generated by whomever, that's when you ended up getting all of this extra work. That's self-imposed.
I actually don't think it's self-imposed. I think it's a legislative duty and responsibility, and that it's outlined under the RCW about the council's authority. And I guess that's where we have a difference of opinion, a major difference of opinion.
I guess so, because there's a big difference between the authority of the legislative branch and the title of mayor pro tem. Mayor pro tem just sits in for the mayor when she is out of town or indisposed, and I know you know that. All of these other designated responsibilities are not called out as responsibilities anywhere. You know, we functioned quite well, probably for the last 50 years, with having our committee meetings the way they were, having them in late afternoon, because we did have some in the late afternoon to accommodate those folks that were working. The council knew what was going on and worked that done. So, but you guys still haven't answered
that. That is in there because of my 35 years of watching, 40 years probably, of watching what goes on in this city. And the reason I ran is because citizens need a legislative body that brings their stuff to the city.
So just a quick question, Councilmember Deedy. In your 2 years, Councilmember Morgan, that you were on council, not once did you mention that we needed a president. Not once. And never in the 2 years that you were on council were you ever quieted on the dais. You have always had a voice. You have always had a voice to speak up. So, you know, now that you've got two more members that back you on everything, don't act like you were silenced on everything the last 2 years. You could have spoke up at any of this.
All right, let's move on. Let's move on. I just would like the record to show, though, that you really can't justify the position of council president.
Well, the internal affairs of the council belong to the council.
Yeah? Okay. That doesn't mean that we need a council president. There is nothing stopping any of us from speaking with one another and working through whatever is going on in the city. But I don't get emails. I don't get a phone call saying, hey, I'm working on this project and I'd like to work with you on this, Janie. I don't get that. What I get is a bunch of paper thrown on the desk. But I'm going to move on. So in section 14, selecting the mayor pro tem and filling the vacant council position, other than this paragraph, well, that was in 13-14, there was no changes. Going on to 15, the council meeting staffing, 15.1, which in the other, it's the same in yours, 15.1, there was no change. In 15.2, I want to read you a quote from Mr. Talmadge. He states, quote, revised rule 15.2 purports to designate what meetings the city attorney attends and when the city attorney may provide legal advice. The council cannot control what legal advice the city attorney provides. Instead of having this rule create problems relative to the role of the city attorney, it is recommended that the city attorney, it should be or, but it says of, his or her deputy attend full council meetings and other types of meetings as necessary and have this specified in the contract for legal services. Morris stated, quote, this is inconsistent with law. The mayor shall see that all laws and ordinances are faithfully enforced and that law and order are maintained in the city and shall have general supervision of the administration of city government and all city interests. RCW 35A.12.100. Therefore, the mayor decided when the city attorney will attend a council meeting. The council cannot pass a resolution which purports to strip the mayor of his or her duties as established by law. Morris goes on to say, language which purports to prevent the city attorney from providing legal advice, except when requested by a council member, should be eliminated. And my suggestion is we keep the same language that we had in the 2015 version of the rules. Is there any discussion on that? We have two attorneys. Go ahead. It would really be nice at some point to have some comments made. Okay, and then 15.3. Which was basically gutted and rewritten. Mr. Talmadge states, quote, revised rule 15.3 purports to direct city staff as to attendance at meetings. The council does not have supervisory authority over city staff. It is recommended that this provision be removed. It is suggested the former language be used with the addition of council committee meetings. Carol Morris also states, quote, the council members shall not attempt to change or interfere with the operating rules and practices of any city department, end quote. So it needs to be reinstated. To interfere with the workings of the city is contrary to law, 35A.12.100. The authority to direct staff lies with the mayor.
Is there any discussion with that? Okay. Moving on to section 16. The next one is 16.5. Yeah. Sure.
Another one of these insurance company things, the 16.3. 16.3, RMSA page 24, number 1, thinks that 16.3 and 16.5 may be in conflict somehow, which doesn't make any sense to me. But he also reiterates that the mayor is the director of the staff in their accomplishment of the council objectives. And I thought that was an important thing.
But that was deleted in...
Right, but that's basically...
No, wait. I have 16.5 that says no council member shall direct the mayor or city staff to initiate any action or prepare any report.
Tone it down. My goodness.
Significant in nature or initiate any project or study.
That's on your rules.
All right, just a minute. But Pat, let's finish this conversation. No, because what you're reading is not what was in the original rule.
2015.
Okay, can we back up then? I wanna if we're gonna go back to 16 point, what was in the 2015 rules for 16.5? You guys deleted a paragraph. Okay, and let me read you what Mr. Talmadge wrote. Quote, revised rule deleting the old 16.5 is not recommended. The council's role is legislative, and it acts as a policymaker. It is legally dangerous to have council or members of it attempt to interject themselves into the running of city departments that fall under the mayor's jurisdiction. While the deletion does not permit that, the deletion might be construed as authorizing that. Then Morris wrote that the elimination of council members shall not attempt to change or interfere with the operating rules and practices of any city department. The old 16.5, which reads, council members shall not attempt to change or interfere with the operating rules and practices of any city department, needs to be kept. It was in the July version deleted. Yeah. Well, look. Yes, that was.
You renumbered it.
It's been renumbered. And so when you renumber something that disappears, doesn't show up. Yeah, we have a 16.5 and there's a 16.6. My 16.6 is your 16.5. My 16.4 is your 16.4. So what happened with my 16.5? It went away.
Now, in your 16.5, council members shall not attempt to change or interfere with the operating rules and practices of any city government.
Department.
However, the 16.5 that I'm reading for July says no council member shall direct the mayor or city staff. The one I read before. So
that's not, that was 16.6 in the 15.
Yeah. See, that was. Yeah.
16.5 was eliminated, and both attorneys.
And both attorneys have said put it back in. It's illegal. It is dangerous. It is legally dangerous to have council or members of its attempt to interject themselves into the running of the city departments. Deleting that rule is not recommended. That's Talmadge.
Councilmember Weber, I don't have necessarily an issue with putting it back the way it is. What I have issue with is this continual use of the word illegal. It does not say illegal for what you're
legally dangerous.
It says legally dangerous. That is completely different than.
Okay, we can parse words. I that's trailing off onto another subject. We're having a hard enough time without parsing.
I'll add another note to make it even more complicated. My note here, and I can't really remember where this came from, but council has authority to change the operating rules for a department by ordinance. So it is confusing to leave this, what used to be the 16.5 in, and assuming that that means some other intent. By ordinance, the council has the authority to change the operating rules for any department.
What's your citation for that?
That's the law, actually.
Where? Give me the citation.
This Councilmember Weber, not to beat a dead horse, I would suggest that since we are having continual meetings, that we revisit this item and give Councilmember Morgan time to come up with a citation instead of beating her with the whip.
Well, okay, and I'll take that. But the thing is that when we come to these meetings and we have an argument, and I don't mean an argument like a fight, I'm just talking about a position or a side of an issue, to just say it's the law isn't good enough. We have to say where in the law is it. What's the citation?
It's in the main RCW talking about the authority
but
of
I
the
need,
council.
I know, but I want to know. RCW 35A 12 100 subset blah, blah, blah.
I'm not sure which one.
I know, but see, that's all I'm asking is that when you say this, instead of just throwing these things out, it solidifies your position if you give us your citation. Otherwise, we're just going, Okay. Now what?
Well,
so,
Weber said that's
and we'll revisit next time. That's what I wrote down. So, okay. Okay. We're going to talk about section. There's nothing in section 17 that was different,
unless you all have something different.
Then we're going to go into 18. And in 18.1.1, it was rewritten. And Mr. Talmadge, in his document, says, quote, increased staffing and costs are matters that the mayor may appropriately bring before the council to be addressed. Carol Morris said, while the council may certainly appoint their committees, the decision whether to continue with the process to allow council committees under these circumstances lies with the mayor because she is in charge of city staff and the budget. The council can't adopt the resolution purporting to strip the mayor of her authority established in state law, which is 35A.12.100. And just a general comment from me, and I know you guys want to do this, and if we were a city of 5,000 or 10,000 or 20,000, I would understand. But all of this do-pass stuff just drives me nuts, because all I see of all of it is just to obstruct. Things go into committees, and they die. How many do-passes have we gotten out of any of the committees? Two, maybe? I don't know.
We still have nine things that were either voted down or still in committee.
So I think we need to, for 18.1.1, keep it the way it was in 2015. We don't need all of this do-pass stuff. Now, if you guys want to have it,
because it makes you feel empowered, I don't get it. So if you can explain that to me, we're not King County, we're not Spokane, we're not Seattle. We don't have the type of, we're not even Redmond. Redmond has a boatload of stuff that they put through in their council meetings. They do go to committees. They follow that do pass stuff. But we're so small still. And why put all of this on the council now when there's only five of us? I understand that if our lives were very complicated and we had complex issues that needed to go to people, I understand that. But we're not at that point. So why make our lives so complicated now?
Pepper, I would comment slightly on this, saying that I think the citizens of Black Diamond deserve to have things come before them in an evening meeting. And I also think it would be really nice if the mayor would allow staff to come forward. It wouldn't take that long, certainly not as long as some of these times they've been in meetings for 4 hours at a time.
Okay.
So that would be my
Okay, let me tell you. I've listened to the committee meetings. I actually was transcribing verbatim some of those committee meetings. Nothing ever gets done. There's not even any citizens showing up anymore. And I know, Brian, that you think if one person shows up, that's great. There's just more efficient ways of conducting city business. And the fact that our staff does come to the council meetings and appropriate work studies like tonight with Seth, because that's part of their job. It's not part of their job or the scope of their job to participate in these committee meetings after hours. And there's no budget to pay them. That's the other thing that's slipping through the crack here. All of this stuff costs a lot of money. Where's the money coming from?
It also requires them to spend a lot more time than what they have in their contract. They have a contract to have hours. And they're not required to come to these meetings. And I have invited you, if you want to have committee meetings and have staff attend, you can have meetings at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And you can have committee meetings to come to the city, visit with staff. They're open to the public. And then you can ask questions of the staff. And then you get the real lowdown on what's going on in the city.
Councilmember Deedy, so even if you still want your committee meetings at night, why wouldn't you make an effort, the two of you, the three of you that are at these meetings, go into City Hall, get all the answers, and then go to your committee meeting and say, here's the voucher. I went through it with May today, and here's, I mean, that's the key right there, isn't it, that you guys want to bring information to the citizens at the night time. So why not go into City Hall, meet with staff and the mayor, and go through everything, and then when you go to your committees, you have that opportunity. And then when if there's a question from a citizen, say, that's a great question. I will get back to you on that question, or you may email that to city staff, because everybody has that opportunity to email city staff. So I mean, it just seems the correct way if you're going to do that. Go ahead.
I know that a democracy is not efficient, and I know that it isn't like it doesn't get from point A to B very quickly. The point of the committees is to have citizens talking to each other, deciding what they think they want to know about. We can't know what they're thinking until we talk to them. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Let me just add something, because there was one very long, painful finance committee meeting that I listened to and transcribed verbatim. And a citizen was there with the person who shall remain nameless, because you don't want me using his name. They were reading out of the bars manual, the same paragraph, multiple times within this 2 or 3 hour meeting. And they didn't understand it because they hadn't talked to any of the staff. So in watching the videos, in listening to the audios, I don't see the value. To you guys, there is, you may be talking amongst the public, whoever that is. But the thing is that unless you talk to the staff, how do you know what's going on? And you go, so you need to talk to the staff. You need to then go, if you want to have your committee meetings, hunky-dory, fine. But at least you come in with a position of knowing what's going on in the city. Because all I've seen in the last 8 months is nothing getting passed that's generated by the city. The things that come forward are things that you folks want to push basically down our throats with no advance warning. And that's not how this is supposed to work. We should be all coordinating with one another in advance of the meetings. So the vouchers are going to be out tomorrow. You guys should have an email sometime tomorrow saying, come talk to May. I highly recommend it. I do it every 2 weeks. I go talk to May. And if I know of some other resolutions that may be coming down the pike, I go talk to whoever is responsible for that. That's my job. That's your job. It's your job to know what's going on in the city, and you can't know it if you're living in a vacuum. The only way to get out of the vacuum is to go talk to the staff. They're there till 5 o'clock every day. So I would recommend that. Okay. So 18.1.2. Took all the authority away from the mayor. The idea behind this was that the mayor appoints, the council confirms. And you guys want to take that authority away from the mayor. I also, as we get into it, have a problem with the composition of the meetings. But I think the mayor still needs to be able to have some say in what's going on in these committees. How else do you guys know if you don't talk to her, if you don't know what's going on? She's the one that can direct the staff to help you guys out. But if you take her out of the loop here.
Councilmember Deedy. So in past, you know, the mayor could send out an email or has sent an email saying, what committee are you interested in being on? So our council emails the mayor and says, I'm interested in the finance. I'm interested in the parks committee meeting. So you send those, and she then looks at it and says, okay, these are great. Councilmember Deedy hasn't, she's been on for 4 years. This is her fifth year. She hasn't been on the budget finance committee. So let's put her on that because she hasn't been there. So the mayor job on that part is to look at who's all wants to be where, you know, and not for three members of the council to say, we don't want Janie on anything, or we don't want Tammy on that. We want to, you know, it's good to have everybody on a committee to have everybody understand how each operating one does. So, you know, we can send an email to the mayor, say, here's the committees we want to be on. You know, and then it comes back, and then we can agree or not agree. We could say there, you know, Mayor Benson, I don't really want to be on the finance. I've been on it for 3 years. I'd like to be moved to somewhere else. So, I mean, it's all discussable. It's all, you can discuss it at council. But if you don't like where you're being put, you can state it there.
You know, I just have to say this. When I first introduced that committee assignments change on January 7th. There were five committees and there were 10 people, and five assignments were changed from what the mayor had, and she pulled it from the desk and wouldn't even let us vote on it. I'm still under that sting.
Pepper here. I would just like to say that the council has the right to form its own committees. Thank you.
So, Councilmember Deedy, I didn't get to have a say on what committee I was going on to. You guys just put me on a committee. So, you know, you're talking about the council needs to have its right to decide where they want to be. You didn't give me a right. So I'm just saying that we have the right to email the mayor and say, I want to be on this committee. So don't tell me that, you know.
For the council president.
What?
For the council president.
For what? Well, I'm just saying, if you're going back to the January 7th council rules, you did not give me a choice. You threw it on me and said, these are where you're going to be. And then in those meetings, you said, let's keep Janie out of stuff. So you kept her out of things. And go ahead and make that face. I'll give you that document.
Excuse me. You are, like, yelling and pointing your fingers. We're supposed to be in a meeting here, and we're supposed to be making some decisions or not about things. I'm listening. Okay.
I'm trying
my best to do a job here when I think we need to either move on. Okay.
Can I finish my statement?
Robert's rules.
Robert's rules.
I don't know.
You, a few minutes ago, got all mad and started yelling.
No, I didn't.
And Janie asked you to calm down.
Yeah, I was using my loud voice.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. So now you're yelling at me.
I'm not mad.
So,
but we don't know the difference.
So I'm just saying that when Councilmember Morgan said she's mad at the January 7th because of whatever reason, I'm just saying that I did not get a
choice. The word was not mad. Don't change my words. I'm feeling the sting of having it pulled.
Did I say mad?
Yeah, you did.
Okay. So I'm just saying, you know, that whatever happened at the January 7th meeting is over. So we need to move on, and we need to understand that every council member should have the right to decide what committee they are on. Is that correct? Am I right on that?
But you might get overruled. That happens, you know. So I guess we're at an impasse on that one. You guys don't want to have the mayor have any kind of appointing authority, I take it.
It's in the council authority over its own business with separation of powers that the Western democracy is built upon.
Oh, come on, Erica. Don't give me...
I don't talk about democracy. I think if we're not going to talk about democracy and we're not going to have democracy, then I don't think we need to have a
city. No, I would like to get back on topic here. I want to get back on topic. Okay, something we can all agree on, 18.1.3, there was no change. No, 18.1.3, I'm not talking about A yet, okay? 18.1, is that okay with everybody? Okay. 18.1.3A. You deleted... working with the mayor and staff. You did add noticing requirements and meeting times to be on weekday evenings. I mean, I just don't understand. Can you explain to me if the public, whoever they are, can't make it to a 4 o'clock meeting? I mean, they're not coming to your 7 o'clock meetings now. What makes you think it's going to be any different if we have them at 4 o'clock so that you can actually work with the staff?
In case you hadn't noticed, this is a commuter town. It takes them 2.5 hours to get home.
Don't tell me about commuting, Erica. I'm well aware of that. Okay. I guess you want to continue to delete authority of the mayor.
This council member.
And you guys don't want to work with the mayor.
Okay. That's an assumption on your part. And so we should just press on to the next item. Because it's not like this can't come up again in the future. And we're not getting anywhere right now anyway.
You know what? You know, the reality of this is a really a nice effort that
I can't tell you how many hours I have spent getting this together, doing all the reconciliations that were required, and you guys can't even give me any decent input to make this a good document for all of us. It's like it's your way or the highway, and, you know, we need to work as a team, and I'm not seeing that. Okay, 18.1.3B. You added a vice chair. You only got two people on the committee from the council. Why do you need a vice chair? Now, even in the old days when we only had two council members, yeah, somebody was designated as a chairperson. That chair had no more authority than the other council member on that committee. We sat around a table, not dissimilar from where we're at right now. We would have a discussion about whatever that department wanted to bring forth to the council. There wasn't any big egos involved. We just sat down and we talked about what needed to be done. I do not understand why we need a vice chair.
Councilmember Deedy. So I'm just going to go out on a limb here. On my personal thought is that a vice chair kept Janie and I out of being anywhere into the position of a chair. If the chair was gone, then they had the vice chair. So that was the reason. I mean, to be honest, that's the reason.
Well, and personally, I really don't care. I don't need a fancy title. I'm more concerned about knowing what's going on in our city. So can you guys explain to me why we have to have a vice chair on these committees? Okay.
I think, why not? It's not against any rule.
I guess if you're really, if you need to have a fancy title, hunky-dory, fine. What we've always done in the past is, let's say I would, heaven forbid, I was the chair of a committee and I couldn't make it to that committee, I would call another council member and say, hey, Pat, I can't come to this meeting. Can you go for me? And you would say yes or no, depending on your schedule. And life happened. The meetings happened. You know, I don't need a fancy title. So I just think it's a waste of time.
I'm going to try to explain something to you. I don't think you'll be able to accept I understand it, but I'm going to try to explain.
Oh, because I'm not very smart. I know.
No, it's because it's so different from your understanding of where you're at. The committees that were set up by the new council rules are legislative committees. The committees that we had before were mayor's committees. It's a completely different animal, and it goes by different rules. And because these committees are originating legislation, is the reason why there's a chair and a co-chair.
But the legislation that you guys have been generating in the last 18 months have had absolutely nothing to do with the running of the city.
Just wait and see what's going to happen.
Okay, I guess I will let everybody be on notice that there's something going to be hitting the fan one of these days soon. When's that going to happen? Oh, you know, hey, rumors are flying. We understand that.
Can we move
okay.
on, please?
18.1. You know, is there any point in going through the rest of this? Do you guys have any comments on the rest of these council rules? Do I need to read some more Talmadge? Here's one. On 18.1.3. All right, well, yeah, go ahead.
I just want to be orderly. Me personally, I have no problem with continuing to go through. I appreciate the work that you did putting all this together. Just because I don't make a decision or give you input, like, right this minute, doesn't mean that I'm not still thinking or going to come back and have said comment. And I'm not going to get into the whole you don't do your homework thing, but I'm just saying, me personally, just because I don't have initial feedback right now doesn't mean that in a future meeting that I might not have something. So I'm just,
okay, you know. You can, we can keep going.
I would just like to add on my behalf, myself, is that our last meeting was a month ago, am I correct, on this council rules, and we've all had these documentations. And it is sad that we're sitting here and we don't have a full body council adding input to any of this. So, you know.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Okay. Can we move on? Okay. In 18.1.3, subparagraph D, in the July 2016 rules, Mr. Talmadge states, revised rule 18.1.3, subparagraph D, references resolutions being, quote, signed out, unquote. It is not clear what that means. If the term is to be used, it should be defined. Approved might be the more operative word. Carol Morris wrote, it is not clear what the word signed out mean. So maybe this is a really good time to add a definition.
This is Councilmember Weber. I would propose either to add a definition or just change it to approved. Obviously, signed out has got quite a few people, you know, has different people thinking different things. Even if you give somebody a definition of something, they can still take it like in a totally different way. So maybe approved might be a more simplified way of handling that instead of saying signed out. Just a thought.
And actually, that D is a completely different D from the 2015 version. Okay, so let's, you know what, let's just back up. Let's go back to 18.1.3 and start at the beginning. Okay, A. In the revised July rules, you deleted working with the mayor and the city and rewrote the entire paragraph A.
I would like to ask the question. So when you set up your committees, why did you pick the committees the way you have? I mean, you've never even met with public safety. You never have even addressed public safety. You haven't ever addressed parks and cemetery. There are things in your committees that say in the structure of your committees that those things are part of the committee, but you've never had a meeting with the police department. You've had one meeting with the fire department, the fire chief, and you've never talked about parks or cemetery.
Mayor, can I interrupt for just a second? Because we're not quite there yet.
Well, this is all.
I'm backing up because I'm also looking at a redline version of the July 3rd rules, and I want to make sure we don't miss anything. That's why I wanted to back up to 8.1.3. A was basically rewritten. 18.1.3, where, you know, the original rules from 2015 say the committee chair will work with the mayor and city staff to finalize the agenda to help guide the direction of the meeting. In the July version, it says the committee chair shall set the committee schedule and agenda. All meetings shall be noticed in the same manner as council meetings and be conducted in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, RCW 42-30, and noticed as committee meetings using the process traditionally used by the city clerk to notice committee meetings. Whenever possible, committee meetings shall be conducted on weekday evenings. The mayor pro tempore and the president of the council shall work with the committee chairs to coordinate committee schedules so as to avoid conflicts, allow participation by appropriate staff, and enable the efficient conduct of regular meetings. You know, that's an awful lot of words. So I take exception to that whole paragraph. I think it needs to be, whether it's the council president, the mayor pro tem, whether it is a committee chair, whoever that may be, needs to work with the mayor and the staff to finalize agendas.
Councilmember Deedy, so on the July 7th rules, so I'm a little confused. It says the mayor pro tempore and the president of the council shall, which you two shall, work with the committee chair. So if you two aren't the committee chair and somebody else is, so you two are going to meet, three are going to meet privately and discuss that, or is that out of count? Stop it. No, it's a question. So I'll read that statement again before you guys get mad at me. The mayor pro tempore and the president of the council shall work with committee chairs to coordinate committee schedules so as to avoid conflicts. So explain that to me. To me, when I read that, that means three people are meeting somewhere to discuss the committee schedule. So go ahead, get mad at me now.
The look on your faces told it all.
It's Councilmember Weber, and it's right. It's justifiably so that evokes that type of reaction, because since day one we have been.
You guys are meeting secret. All three of you.
I mean, somebody doesn't know what they're talking about.
So why was it in here? Council rule.
Pepper. I'm not sure that it says that. And it doesn't say we're going to work together in the same room. Right, but not at the same time. Right.
If the council president and if Mr. Weber is
the chair
of the finance committee, you three are going to be working together.
No,
that's what this says.
It says that. Do you want to read it? I'll read it again.
No, you don't need to read it again. I think that is just talking about scheduling when the meetings happen. And there is a special dispensation in the RCW. I don't know exactly which one it is, but under the OPMA RCW, there is a special dispensation about setting and confirming when meetings are happening, that is not a violation of the OPMA.
It's city business getting done.
But there's a special dispensation for that because the legislative body couldn't have envisioned that people will be violating the OPMA just to say, we're going to meet with the budget committee on Monday, say, and you're going to meet with the GovOps committee on Wednesday, or is there some kind of conflict? And you want to change it around some different way. That's not the same thing as discussing and getting together about what is on the agenda and talking about the actual.
Okay,
city
I would recommend, Erica, at our next meeting that you bring that so that we can actually see it.
Okay.
Or email us with the citation.
Okay.
Okay, I'm looking at the clock. It's 8 o'clock. And we've been here for 2 hours, and I would like to make a motion that we adjourn this work study, and then we
second.
Wow, you guys, you're not even gonna let me finish.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried.
Wow.